Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to begin by welcoming you all here this morning. And I know there's some new faces out there since the last time that I've been up here, but I want you to know how happy we are to have you. And I know we have visitors this morning, and I'm so pleased, too, that you are here, and I hope that you'll come back and be with us whenever you have an opportunity. A special welcome to Mrs. Young. I know that she's here this morning, and I really appreciate seeing her. I don't know if you've all noticed that or not, but she kind of snuck in, and if she could. But, you know, Mrs. Young is just an example to us all, and I really love her and glad to see her. I remember way back when, I think it was my first adult class that I ever tried to teach, and I don't know if you've ever tried to do that. Any of the men can remember back when you first tried to teach that first class. You're sweating and your palms, you know, and all this and that. And I was asking questions, and Mrs. Young broke the ice for me, and she, you know, she asked questions and believe me, she is not afraid to let you know what she knows about the Bible, and she knows a lot. So I appreciate seeing her, and I'm glad that she's well enough to be back with us. My lesson this morning is going to come from the book of Jonah. Jonah is one of the minor prophets in the Bible, and Jonah's name actually means dove, and he preceded the prophet Amos, and he ministered under King Jeroboam II. Nineveh was a very important city in Assyria, and Nineveh would become the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It was about 500 miles northeast of Israel, and it was a very, very wicked city. The prophet Nahum gives us some insight into the wickedness of this city. Nahum tells us that Nineveh was guilty of an evil plot against God. They were guilty of idolatry. They were guilty of prostitution. They were guilty of witchcraft. And the book of Jonah, if you just read the book of Jonah on its own, isn't really a prophesying book per se, but more it's really about the history of a prophet. It's really about the history of Jonah. So what I'd like to do this morning is start out by reading the book of Jonah. If you would like to turn over to Jonah, I'll begin reading in chapter 1, 4 short chapters. Beginning in chapter 1 then, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, and paid the fare and went down into it with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God that they knew that, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below to the hold of the ship, laid down, and had fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn more on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from, and what is your country? From what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called to the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on for us, for thou art put blood on us. For thou, O Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased." So they picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, for they offered a great sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then in chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, "I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol, and thou didst hear my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and into the hearts of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All thy breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. Even great depths engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I described to the roots of the mountains. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee unto the holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pray. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe from them, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and by his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that they may return, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish." When God saw their deeds and they turned from their wickedness, or their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. And the Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be shade over his head, to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm, and when it came down the next day, it attacked the plant, and it withered. And it came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Then God said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? He said, I have a good reason to be angry, even to death. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, but which came up overnight and perished overnight. And should I not have compassion on Nineveh, a great city in which there were more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? You know, this story that we've just read about Jonah certainly is an exciting story. It's an exciting Bible account. And most every child has probably studied this lesson and read this account at one time or another in their Bible studies. But there are many things that we can benefit from as well from this story. It's a story that every great child of God, or every child of God, needs to hear. And we can learn many good lessons and many truths from this book. I'm going to present just a few of those lessons and a few of those truths, and I'm sure that there are many, many others. The first lesson is that God knows all things. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 15 and verse 3, we read that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. God knows everything that we do. He knows the work of every church as a whole, and He knows every member in particular. We may try to deceive our brethren, and sometimes it's easy to deceive others. We may try to deceive our brethren and our family or our fellow man, but God cannot be deceived, because God sees all and God knows all. It's impossible to deceive God. We cannot seek God's love and run away from Him at the same time. That's impossible to do. Secondly, time and space will not hide our sin. Jonah tried when he ran away from God, or so he thought. And here, Jonah was a prophet of God, and he should have known better. You thought he would have understood what his responsibilities were, but yet he tries to run from God. And we can read in Psalms 139 that we can't hide from God. In Psalms 139, beginning in verse 7, it reads, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on a far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is light to you. But do we ourselves realize that nothing can hide whatever unrepentant sin that we've committed? Nothing can hide any unrepentant sin that we've committed. The Bible says in 1 Timothy in verse 5 and verse 24, the sin of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, even those that cannot be hidden. This should teach us a lesson. It should teach us that when we sin, we should be willing to confess our sins to the Lord. And we should be willing to repent. God is loving. God loves each and every soul. He doesn't want any soul to be lost. And God is ready to forgive. And we saw that in our reading in Jonah. A third thing we can learn from this lesson is that God is able to use an incident in the lives of His servants for His glory. What a lesson there was for the sailors of that boat. The seas were about to capsize the boat, and each man was praying to his own God. To his own God. Okay? And we read that the men realized, probably because of the power that God had over nature, and they could readily see that, and other reasons, which God was in control. These sailors prayed to Him after they threw Jonah over the side. These same men worshipped other gods, but they wound up fearing the true God. They had a change of heart, and they repented, and they offered sacrifices to Him, to the one true God. Another thing we can learn is that Jonah still had to fulfill his duty to God. He still had to go and preach to Nineveh. After all that he had experienced and everything that he had been through, you would think that maybe Jonah would have deserved a rest. But instead, God comes to him again with the very same message. Jonah, He says, go and do what I ask you to do. Having spent just 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, Jonah finally gets it. He finally gets his wake-up call. He's going to do what God commissions him to do, and he goes and he preaches to Nineveh. We can ask ourselves this question: what does it take for us to be motivated and to be moved to obey God? Obviously, God loved Jonah. He wasn't going to let Jonah die. God loves us. But He also needs us to do His bidding, just like He needed Jonah. He needs us to work in His kingdom, to take the word to the lost of this world. We may not have to go to a city like Nineveh to spread God's good news, the gospel. But then again, there are some pretty wicked cities around. There's lots of temptations all around us today. We probably have a lot of the same situations to spread the gospel to that Jonah had in his day. But the story of Jonah should be a reminder to us that God has no hands but our hands to do His work. We sing a song in our songbooks, it's number 460, to remind us of our responsibility as Christians. And the first verse of that song goes like this: Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring men to His side. We may have obstacles in our lives that would keep us from serving God, and to keep us from doing those things that He asks us to do. Sometimes we make our own obstacles, but God says to keep My commandments. He says, put Me first in your lives, in everything that you do. In other words, we should not board the ship of excuses as Jonah did. and try to sail away and try to hide from our responsibilities. God will find a way for us in every situation if we just trust Him and if we would just do His will. He says He will never leave or forsake us. We need to be faithful to Him, and we need to be faithful to His cause. Another lesson we can learn from this story is that even in our lowest points in life, we need to look up to God. Jonah, realizing that he was in the belly of a fish, and yet as despairing as it was, I can't possibly imagine what it would be like to be in the belly of a fish. As despairing as that was, he was still alive because he prayed to God. His prayer to God was a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of praise. Jonah realized that he could not help himself. He finally realizes that he has to depend on God. Even from inside the fish, God heard Jonah's prayer. And another point that we can make is that we can pray anywhere, at any time, and God will hear us. God hears the prayers of a righteous man. Your sin is never too great, or your predicament that you may be in your life is never too difficult for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. In our own low points in life, we too need to look to God, who can help us through difficult times, and He can bring us to a new day. We can glorify Him and we can love Him. Another lesson that we can learn is that the worst of men can change and be forgiven by God. Sometimes the least likely prospects are the ones that we would hear and that are the ones that would hear and obey God. The least likely prospects. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter who you have hurt. It doesn't matter how many lies you have told. It doesn't matter how much evil you have done. It's never too late to ask God to forgive you. It's never too late to repent and have that change of heart and turn from your sin. It's never too late. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven from a heart that's repentant. It doesn't matter what you've done or what I've done. God's message of love is for all men. The Assyrians certainly didn't deserve it, but God spared them when they sincerely repented. We may have our own ideas of who should be forgiven, who should be given God's love. We may have our own ideas of who should be forgiven and who does not deserve it. But God desires that all men be saved. We need to rid ourselves of whatever prejudices we may have and realize that God loves us all and wants not one soul to be lost. God spared the sailors when they pleaded for mercy. God saved Jonah when he prayed from inside the fish. God saved the people of Nineveh when they responded to Jonah's preaching. And God will save those who believe in Him and follow after Him. To those who are here today, this morning, we're not saved. The book of Jonah can be most valuable. God loves you. He has said that He will not, that one day He will come and He will destroy this world. And He has said that He will destroy everything in it. And He sent Jesus Christ into this world to save souls, to save the souls of men and women. who would believe in him. So I ask this question this morning, how about you? How about you? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Are you willing to confess his name before men? To be baptized in water for remission of sins? Are you ready for that peace of mind that comes from knowing that if you remain faithful, you can have that home in heaven? Don't run away from God. It's impossible to hide. You can't hide. I guess that's the biggest lesson that I got from Jonah. You cannot hide. I hope my lesson this morning has been beneficial to you. I hope that it's been uplifting and maybe caused you to think about your soul and about your life. We at Courthouse are a church that follows the Bible. We are people who want to go to heaven, and we want to take as many of you, or help, take as many souls as we can. I hope that you'll consider the lesson this morning, and for your encouragement, if you'd like to become a child of God this morning, if you'd just come forward, we'll stand and sing for your encouragement.